Srila Prabhupada was the ambassador of Vrindavan. In 1965, Prabhupada got on board the Jaladuta, and in his diary he wrote, "Today I'm on the Jaladuta, all alone, so far away from Vrindavan. Today is Janmashtami. In Vrindavan there are thousands and thousands of people. There are thousands and thousands of different types of worship going on in hundreds of temples. So many festivities. And here I am all alone on the Jaladuta." Prabhupada was carrying Krishna. He was carrying Krishna in the form of the holy name. He was carrying Krishna in the form of the Bhagavatam. Before Prabhupada had left for America, someone said, "Oh Swamiji, I heard you're going to America." Prabhupada said, No. "The Bhagavatam is going to America. And I am simply carrying it." So Prabhupada was just the carrier of all this spiritual wealth. And he came to the Lower East Side. Once Prabhupada was lecturing in New York at some town hall or something. And in the middle of the lecture we said, "And we are very, very happy in this extremely remote place. People are chanting Hare Krishna." So that was interesting, because Prabhupada was right in the center of New York City. And in his lecture, Prabhupada said, "Even in this remote place, people are chanting Hare Krishna." We may think New York City, that's the center of civilization. When they asked Gandhi one time, "What do you think of Western civilization?" He said, "I think it would be a good idea." So for Prabhupada, this was not impressive at all. For Prabhupada, Vrindavan was the center of the spiritual world. Radha Damodar temple was the hub of the wheel of the spiritual world. One time, Harisari Prabhu, he was flicking through some pictures and it came to the courtyard of the Radha Damodar temple, and Prabhupada caught a glimpse of that courtyard. So Prabhupada became immediately very, very interested. And so Harisari Prabhu said, "Prabhupada, you have such feelings for the Radha Damodar temple where you spent so many years." Prabhupada said it was too much ecstatic. It was too much ecstatic. That was Srila Prabhupada, who was so rooted in Vrindavan. But Prabhupada left to become the ambassador of Vrindavan. He wanted to open the doors to Vrindavan to the whole world. And so Srila Prabhupada did that. He did that by teaching the world about Vrindavan. And he did that by taking the devotees to Vrindavan. And he did that by creating temples in Vrindavan so devotees could stay there. They say three types of people generally go to Vrindavan. One type of person goes to Vrindavan to die. They just realize this is the end. This is the final chapter. This is the final stretch of my life. And to live in Vrindavan, what can be better perfection than that? So some people go to Vrindavan for their final days. So there when you go to Vrindavan, you'll see so many old widows or sadhus or ascetics. A lifetime of duties fulfilled, and now they just give up everything and live in Vrindavan as lone mendicants to spend the rest of their days. Some people go to Vrindavan because they have some specific service. They have some specific task to do there. Prabhupada had sent the devotees to Vrindavan to build the Krishna Balaram temple. One of the devotees one day came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I'm in complete anxiety. I'm in Vrindavan and all I'm thinking about is cement bags." He said, "Prabhupada, all I'm thinking is rupee, rupee, and all these rickshaw drivers, all they're saying is Radhe, Radhe. I'm thinking rupee, rupee, they're saying Radhe, Radhe." And then Prabhupada looked at him and said, "First rupee rupee for Krishna, then Radhe Radhe will come." So So some devotees go to Vrindavan because they have some seva to do for Krishna. And other devotees go to Vrindavan because they want to draw some inspiration. They want to draw some inspiration whereby they can enter into the eternal world. This world is actually just a distraction. This world is actually just a transitory reality. This world is actually just like a computer game, and we take it so seriously. But when we spend time in Vrindavan, then we begin to realize that's the eternal reality. One time when I was leaving Vrindavan, and then one Rajavasi said, "Where are you?" I said, "Tomorrow I'm going back to London." He was not impressed. He said, "All reality outside of Vrindavan is a dream. And all dreams inside of Vrindavan are reality." Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham. But who can see Vrindavan? Can we see Vrindavan? It's said that the holy Dham is covered by a thin layer of oil, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And if you only have superficial vision, then you will look and think it's simply an ocean of oil. But when you're able to penetrate beyond the surface a little bit, then you'll find an ocean of jewels, an ocean of inspiration, an ocean of understanding of the spirit of the Brajavasis, which is everything for Krishna, nothing for me. When we enter Vrindavan, one of the first things that Krishna glorified, you know, one of the first things that Krishna glorified when he entered the forest of Vrindavan? Krishna glorified the trees. Aho esham varam janma sarva prani pajivinam sujanasya yase samvai vimukha narthayatina. Krishna looked at the trees of Raj and he said, "Aho esham varo janma. Oh my God, what a wonderful birth you have taken." I don't know the last time we looked at a tree and said that. Krishna did. Krishna looked at the trees and he said, "Sarva prani upajivinam," because your prana, your whole life as a tree, is dedicated. Sujanasya vayesam vai vimukha nartayatina. Your whole existence and life force is dedicated to serving others. And therefore your life has become successful. Vimukha nartayatina. No one ever comes to you and leaves disappointed. Imagine if we would live a life like that. Such a life that whenever someone would come to us, they would never leave disappointed. Because we've given the entirety of ourselves to serving them. That's the trees of Raj. But not just the trees of Raj. That is the spirit of Raj, the spirit of service. In this way, Krishna gave us a clue. If you want to see Vrindavan, you don't see Vrindavan through anything else except the unmotivated, uninterrupted desire to serve others. When that becomes the entirety of one's nature, then the doors of the spiritual world, the doors of the spiritual reality open up. So Krishna glorified all the trees of Vrindavan, the trees which are Kalpavriksha trees. If you go to Vrindavan today, then you'll see people hugging the trees, tree huggers. Because it's said when you hug the trees of Braj and you pray very deeply and sincerely, then the trees fulfill all desires. So when we walk around Vrindavan, even seemingly the most ordinary things are actually extraordinary. Because in the spiritual world, nothing is ordinary. Everything has such deep significance. Everything is touching the heart in such a deep way. We can walk around Vrindavan and go to so many places. You all, maybe many of you have been, this is Kusum Sarova. Here we come, we remember so many things, how Krishna and Radharani were having the pastimes involving the flowers. We remembered how Narad Muni is residing just behind this place. Why is Narad Muni residing here? Uddhava. Why is Uddhava residing here? Because Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. Uddhava, who was a jnani, who knew all knowledge. Uddhava, who was so established. Uddhava, who was so intelligent that he became the messenger of Krishna, the advisor of Krishna. That same Uddhava was sent by Krishna to Vrindavan. And when Uddhava, who thought he was on a mission for Krishna, went to Vraj, then he realized, I have something to learn. I have something to learn from the Vrajavasis, because they have given the entirety of their mind, body, words, and their life force completely absorbed in Krishna. And therefore, what did he say? Asamaho charanarenu jusam aham siyam vrindavane kimapi gulmalatau sadhinam yados chajam sajana mariya patam jahitva bejur mukunda padavim shruti birnimigyam. He looked at the Brajubasis and he said, Aho esham varam janma Asam aho charana renu jusam maham syam. I just want to take birth. Vrindavane kimapi gulma. If I can become a creeper in Vrindavan, my life will become successful, because then maybe one time when the gopis go into ecstasy and they go off the main road and they wander into the side groves, then maybe while I'm there as a creeper in one of those groves, and while the gopis are in ecstasy remembering Krishna, maybe one of them will step on me. Asamaho charana renu. And then I will get the dust from their feet. So Uddhava said, I just want to stay there and be a creeper in Vrindavan. So when we go and we walk around Govardhan, then we remember all of these pastimes. The devotees go to Govardhan, they go to Vrindavan and they do parikrama. Isn't it parikrama? Pari means around and krama means step. So parikrama literally means to walk around. Why do the devotees constantly walk around? The Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, was doing many parikramas of Vrindavan every single day. Doing parikrama is like creating a web. Have you ever seen a spider creating a web? It goes round and round and round and round and round and round, and then it creates a web. And anyone who then comes gets stuck, trapped, completely enmeshed in that web. So when we go to Vrindavan, we do many, many parikramas, many, many circumambulations. We're praying that, yes, we're building a web, we're weaving a web. So not just a web of many, many steps, but a web of consciousness, so that eventually our mind will just stick. Our mind will just be there. So that when someone says, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, then we'll just close our eyes and again we'll remember that transcendent reality. So the devotees are doing parikrama, remembering that whenever you go in a circle around anything, then no matter where you are on the circle, you're never further away from the center. In that way, parikrama is a metaphor of our own life. That as we walk and traverse this world, so many things are changing. Our ashram changes, our place of living changes, our body and our health changes. Our fortunes change. We don't know what path Krishna will lead us on next, but it doesn't matter, because when your life becomes a parikrama, then wherever you are in life, you're never further away from the center, because Krishna is right there. And so parikrama has a very deep meaning. And so Prabhupada took the devotees to Vrindavan for parikrama. And he personally walked with them through the dust of Vraj on many, many different paths. Here we see the most sacred place in the entirety of the universe. Rupa Goswami says that Bharat is the most sacred place in this manifestation we're living in currently. But within Bharat, Mathura is considered even more sacred. But within Mathura, Vrindavan. But within the Vraja area, Govardhan. But within Govardhan, Radha Kund. Radha Kundam Girivaram Moharadika Madhavasam. This is the duty of a spiritual master to introduce us to Vrindavan, to introduce us to Radha Kund, Shama Kund, and Giriraj Govardhan. Because these are inseparable from Krishna. When Krishna was coming to the material world and he said to Radharani, "Will you also come?" Radharani said, "I don't want to go down there." Krishna said, "But I have sent Yamuna, Govardhan, all these places are there." Then she said, "Okay, then I'll come." Because these places are so sacred. So Radha Kund and Shama Kund, the liquid representations of Radharani and Krishna's love for each other. All the great saints were living on the banks of Radha Kund. Kaviraj Goswami was writing Chaitanya Charitamrita on the banks of Radha Kund. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur were living just behind Radha Kund. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was there, right there in Radha Kund. Again, one must qualify himself. One devotee said, "Prabhupada, I just want to go and live at Radha Kund." Prabhupada said, "Why you want to go there? There are already enough monkeys there." So, it's not a cheap thing to go to Radha Kund. But still, that is the aspirations of the Gaudiyas. The Gaudiyas are following the line of Raghunath Das Goswami, Radha Dasyam, to become servants of Radharani, who is the most pleasing personality in the entirety of creation to Krishna. But that requires purification. So we enter these places with guidance, with great reverence. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says we hold these places in the highest regard and we approach them with the greatest of reverence. Actually, we approach Vrindavan, we approach places like Radha Kund through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, "Yatha yatha gaura padara vinde." That only when you dive into the pastimes of Gauranga and you navigate yourselves to the depths of the ocean of Gaura Leela, will you then eventually emerge from that ocean. And when you emerge from that ocean of Gaura Leela, you will find yourselves on the banks of Raj, where Radhika and Madhav will come to greet you. So we are only approaching Vrindavan and Radha Krishna through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are only approaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Srila Prabhupada. And so we hear about all these places and we walk around all these places step by step. When we take one step to Krishna, then Krishna takes many, many steps towards us. Every step on parikrama is a momentous step. Sometimes we do things in our life and we're not sure, like, what's going to be the result of this? Is it really going to do it? Like, is it going to bear any fruit? When we go to Vrindavan, every moment, every step, every engagement and immersion in devotional service are credits in our eternal bank account. Because every inch of Vrindavan is surcharged with spiritual energy and love for Krishna. And so the devotees walk and soak up, absorb that energy. In Vrindavan, there's many, many places. This place, I don't know how many devotees have been to, but this is the temple which is at Akrura Ghat. Akrura Ghat is a very, very special place because something very, very deep was revealed here. In the Bhagavatam, we can say that there are many, many emotional scenes, but perhaps the most emotional scene of the entirety of the Bhagavatam is this scene. This is the scene where Akrura, being sent by Kamsa, arrives in Vrindavan to give the news to the Brajavasis that Kamsa is calling Krishna and Balaram for a fight. And therefore, he's challenging them, step upon the chariot, leave Vrindavan, come to Mathura, and let's engage in a duel. So Akrura comes with that message. Akrura, which means not cruel. And the gopis, when they hear the mission that Akrura is on, they criticize, they severely reprimand Akrura, and they say, your name means not cruel, but you are completely cruel. Just as Yamaraj and the Yamadutas come at the end of life and they rip the soul out of the body, you are ripping the soul out of Vrindavan by taking Krishna away to Mathura. And so the gopis were just reprimanding Akrura. When Akrura left with Krishna and Balaram on the chariot, Govinda Damo Dharmadaveti, Govinda Damo Dharmadaveti, the gopis were singing, blocking Krishna, but they were not successful. The gopis, they could not live. How could they live? Because Krishna had left. But how could they die? Because Krishna may come back, because he said, I'll be back. So the gopis were living in a suspended state of existence. Can you imagine? They were not living. Neither could they die. They were just living like ghosts in Vrindavan. Now Krishna had left. And when Akrura took the chariot to the edge of Vrindavan, to the border, to the dividing line, we know that the Shastra says, Vrindavanam parityaja padamekam nagachati. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. And so Akrura was on the chariot. Krishna and Balaram said, let us take our Yamuna snan, just the final dip in the Yamuna. And so they went. And then Akrura followed. He saw them. He came back. He saw Krishna and Balaram in the chariot. He went back. He saw a vision of Shesha, Vishnu. Acharyas mentioned that Krishna never leaves. So even when Krishna left with Akrura on the chariot, it wasn't the Vrindavan Krishna, it was the Vasudev Krishna. Krishna left. Because Vasudev Krishna has work to do. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srichami aham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanathaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Yes, Vasudev Krishna has work to do. He has to cure the demons. So many things. So in this way, we're remembering. Akrura Ghat gives us a very deep meditation. Because sometimes we also feel Krishna disappears from our vision. We feel like Krishna disappears from our life. We feel like Krishna may not be hearing our prayers. We feel like Krishna left us behind. We feel like Krishna may have left us hanging in that suspended existence, just like the gopis felt. At Guru Ghat, we remember that Krishna is always there. Even when Krishna seems to disappear, even when Krishna seems not to be present, even when we think Krishna is not attentive, Krishna is not active, Krishna is not reciprocating with me. No, Krishna is there, but maybe in a form that we cannot see and appreciate at this moment in time. Krishna is like an expert chess player. He is 10 moves ahead, and we don't know how he's moving the board, but Krishna is always there. And when he left Vrindavan, he left because that separation would create a deeper meeting between Krishna and his most confidential devotees. Because viraha means separation, but viraha also means vishesha, rahasya, unmilam, a special type of confidential meeting. So Krishna is so expert that when he creates separation, the simultaneous fact to that separation is that it's a very confidential, special type of deep meeting of hearts. And so, like this, every place in Vrindavan is having such a deep meditation. Vrindavan has so many forests, 12 major forests, and then many other forests as well. One of the forests of Vrindavan is known as Madhuvan. Madhuvan is a very, very famous forest. Many things happen in Madhuvan, extremely beautiful. And why not? Because Madhu means honey. So Madhuvan means the place of the sweetest pastimes between Krishna and his devotees. But in Madhuvan, we also hear that there are other pastimes. And one of the most famous pastimes that takes place in Madhuvan is when Dhruva Maharaj goes there because he's been offended and because he wants a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. And so Narad Muni tells him, if you want that, then you have to go and you have to search out Vishnu. Where I will find Vishnu? Vishnu you find in Vrindavan. So you go to Madhuvan and you do your austerity and you meditate on the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And so Dhruva does that, standing on one foot, with eyes closed, with palms folded. And it's said that in the first month, he was only having fruits and berries every 3 days. In the second month, he was having only dry leaves and creepers every 6 days. In the third month, he was having water only every 9 days. And in the fourth month, he was breathing air only every 12 days. And by the fifth month, he had even given that up. And the power of his austerity, the power of the intensity of his devotion, was making the entire universe tremble. Interesting how his intensity becomes stronger and stronger. We kind of start strong, and then we start to wane. As the hours go by, we're starting to lose the energy. Dhruva is just becoming more and more intense, more and more focused. Everything else was becoming more and more insignificant. And his mind was aiming more and more in just one place. It's a deep meditation. Because sometimes we can ask ourselves, the years are going by. The years are going by in Krishna consciousness. Am I becoming more focused? Is everything else becoming more and more insignificant? Is my mind pointing more and more to one direction as my North Star? Is my intensity increasing and increasing? Is my urgency, is my desperation deepening and deepening? For Dhruva Maharaj it was. And because of that intensity of devotion, what happened? The Lord appeared. And with one hit on his head of the conch shell, the Lord enlightened him with all wisdom. Yo mam pravishta imavacham prashuptam. And with that enlightenment of the Lord, he was able to offer many, many wonderful prayers. Stana bilasi tapasi stitoham tvam preptavan deva muni dirguyam kacham vichinvan api divya ratnam swamin kritarto smivaram nayache. Stana bilasi, I had a abilas, I had a desire. Stana, to have a kingdom greater than my greatest grandfather. Tapasi stitoham, and to that end I engaged myself in tapasya. Then I saw you, Krishna, tvam prapta deva munidra guyam, that even the devas, even the munis, even they never get the darshan of you. I got it. And now what do I realize? Kacham vichinvan. I was looking for broken glass. Api divya ratnam. And instead I've got the most amazing jewel. Svamin kritartho smivaram nayache. My search has ended. I don't want to look for anything else. I'm not searching for anything else in life. Imagine if we would come to that point. Krishna says, Yam labdhva cha param labham manyate nadikam tatha. The yogi realized, now I have the greatest gain, I don't have to look for anything else. Dhruva Maharaj came to that point because his intensity, his urgency was increasing. So we see in Vrindavan, this is what the devotees are doing. They're becoming more and more pointed. Vyavasayat mika buddhi samadho nubidhi ate. Focused, resolute in purpose. But you can't do it if Bhogeshwarya prashaktanam daya parita chetasham. If you divert your attention to the things of this world, Vyavasayat mika buddhi samadho nubidhi ate. That resolute determination will never take place. And so Dhruva is such a deep meditation. Srila Prabhupada took the devotees to Vrindavan. He was so happy to introduce them to the land. Prabhupada walked around every single place with the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada, he would tell the stories personally. This is a very, very famous place. Many of you have seen this picture. You've seen the videos. Many of you have been here. This is a very, very profound place known as Brahmanda Ghat. The place where Krishna opened his mouth and Mother Yashoda peered inside to check whether Krishna had eaten the dirt that his friends had accused him of. Srila Prabhupada came to this place and he was telling the pastimes to the devotees. And when you see the video, Prabhupada is so animated. He's so absorbed, his eyes become very, very big. And Prabhupada, with all his love and devotion, is bringing the devotees into that reality of Krishna. Prabhupada, on that day when the devotees came to the Yamuna and the Brahmanda Ghat, Prabhupada was not feeling so well, but he told the devotees the story in such a beautiful way. And then he told them, you should go in the Yamuna and take bath. Take the blessings of the Yamuna. And so the devotees went and they were bathing and Prabhupada was watching them. And then Prabhupada just got so inspired, he said, I'll go in as well. Even though he was not feeling well. And then Prabhupada walked in and you can see him having his Yamuna snan. Yes, Krishna ate the dirt. Why did Krishna eat the dirt? These are all deep points. They're not just it's very deep. The acharyas give so many meanings why Krishna ate the dirt. Krishna ate the dirt because he wanted to cure himself. Cure himself of what? Krishna had had the poison from Putana's breast. And therefore, Krishna thought, if I have the dust of Raj, then it will counteract the power of that poison. So there will be nothing more to worry about within my body with regards to Putana's poison. So some acharyas say Krishna ate the dirt because the dust of Raj has the power to counteract even the most poisonous substances of this world. Some say Krishna ate the dirt to equip himself. Equip himself? What do you mean equip himself? Well, Krishna came to this world as a Kshatriya. And what was the Kshatriya's duty? Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam. A Kshatriya needs to kill. A Kshatriya needs to remove. And in order to do that, a Kshatriya must be having some Raja, Raja Gun, some passion. So, another word for the dust of Vraj is Raj. Vraja, Raja. And so, because Krishna wanted to equip himself with the passion in order to fulfill his purpose to remove all the influence, he had to equip himself with some Raja, and so he took the Vraja Raja. Some acharyas say like that. Some acharyas say Krishna took the dust because he wanted to perform Achaman. Achaman? Why? Because Krishna with his hands had killed so many demons. He had to purify himself. And so he took the dust to purify himself. Some say Krishna took the dust of Raj because he wanted to bless himself. Why bless? Because the saints, the sages, the sold out devotees of Krishna have traversed the lands of Raj for generations. And therefore, Raj is not just covered by Krishna's footprints, but Raj is covered by the footprints of all the devotees, all the great saints. And so Krishna wanted to put that dust in his mouth, because he says, even Bhakta Pada Duliyar Bhakta Pada Jal Bhakta Bhakta Avashesha Dina Mahabal. Because I want to get the blessings of the dust of the feet of the devotees. And some acharyas say, no, no. Krishna didn't take the dust because he wanted to cure himself, equip himself, purify himself, bless himself. Krishna took the dust because he wanted to benedict the whole world. How so? Because Krishna thought in the future, many people may never make it to Vrindavan. Many people may not be able to come. So, Yasmin Tusta Jagan Tushta. When Krishna eats, the whole world eats. So Krishna thought, let me put the dust in my mouth. Because when I take the dust of Raj, then every single person in this world, in this creation, will be blessed in the same way and derive the same benefit. How deep it is. So this is the great opportunity. Srila Prabhupada introduced us to Raj. It's not just a place of sightseeing. It's not just a place of landmarks. It's not just a place of scenery. Why is Govardhan so important to us? Why is Radhakund so important to us? Because each one of these places carry a spirit. The spirit of Raj. The spirit of giving oneself entirely to Krishna. And this is why Srila Prabhupada wanted to introduce us to Vrindavan. So we could go on all night and speak about Vrindavan. We could go to every single forest. We could discuss every single place and remember the spirit of that place and what it means for our own devotional life. But time is going. And so with this final picture, we'll leave our meditation of Vrindavan. And as we enter into the last few hours before Krishna appears in the world, we may pray that Vrindavan and the spirit of Vrindavan enters our hearts. Jiva Goswami says, Vrindavan is not just a physical place. Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. There is the transcendent Vrindavan in the spiritual world. Then there is the Bhoma Vrindavan on the earthly plane. Then there is the envisaged Vrindavan created by the pure devotees. But what is the purpose of all of this? To ultimately create Vrindavan within one's own heart. And therefore, on this day of Janmashtami, we're realizing that, yes, Krishna is there around me, everywhere. Everywhere we go, we're surrounded by Krishna. But we now want to bring Krishna deep within our own minds and hearts. But that can only happen if we absorb the spirit of Vrindavan. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajay Satanayas, the Dhamma Vrindavanam. Not just to teach the world about Krishna, but to teach the world about Krishna in Vrindavan, which has its own very, very special type of sweetness, which brings us into the closest communion with Krishna in a relationship of divine, untainted, unmotivated, uninterrupted, unalloyed, pure love, which is the ultimate goal of our life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Vrindavan Dham ki, Jai Jai Guru Premanande. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.